Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Remember, you can support the Father's Day by going to thefatherstate.tv/donate or locals.com and get the Punchy's coffee. Good. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop for Punchy's coffee. I have with me today Jim Brewer. He is an actor, stand-up comedian, and the host of the Brunerville. No, not that's wrong. And the host of the Brunerverse. What the?
You got it.
I got it. Brunerverse.
You did get it.
Amazing. And what is
you're so close?
What is the Brunerverse about?
Honestly, Jesse, it's just a. It's more of me at the coffee shop or at my house if we're just sitting in the backyard at the end of the day. So the stand-up comedy world is exaggerated storytelling, animated, just stand-up comedy.
Right on.
Brunerverse, I really, it's faith, spirituality, conspiracy, whatever it is, it's just completely open conversation. That's what the podcast really is.
Oh, okay. And what's important to you, Jim?
Honestly, at this stage in life, just inspiration, truth and inspiration. That's the only thing that I get excited about.
And when you say truth,
that's really it. It's, yeah.
And when you say truth and inspiration, what is truth?
Truth is being just openly honest about everything in life, which I feel, I mean, people have always needed that, but I think this is probably one of the most important times people really need that.
Yeah.
Where they spend so much time relying on all their, we'll say false idols to look up to. When it comes to either politics or government or health or anything, I'd like to see more truth. And then even with real life, whatever real life struggles there are.
Right.
I find it baffling that people are so afraid to be so open and honest about real struggles in life, whether it's your marriage, whether it's someone sick, whether it's dealing with whatever it is, whatever that relationship is in life, I feel like we've really, really pulled away from what holds us together.
And so are you a Christian?
Some people would define me as Christian. I don't like defining. Do I live and think Christ-like? I like to think I do. You know, I do use that head space of what would a person of love do right now? What would my wife is Christian. I'm not a church guy. I'm not a I couldn't tell you much about a lot of the Bible. But I've always been very in tune with, we'll call God,
and so,
since I was very young.
And so, were you raised a Christian?
Well, again, if you, do you mean,
like,
you know.
Were your father and mother Christians? They took you to church at the time, and were you raised that way?
No. My dad had nothing to do with religion at all, or my dad was also, he was born in the 20s. I was a late, obviously, a non-expectant life. And so he grew up in Kentucky in the 20s, went to World War II, went to the Philippines, and never, he had a very, he was not a religious man at all, but a very loyal, moral human being, just do the right thing.
Right.
My mom, she would talk about, like, God, and we do our Father prayer when I go to bed.
Right.
And I remember being young, like, wait, what do you mean our Father art in heaven? What does that, that mean, heaven? And she'd be like, you know, we're not going to be here. We, you know, we die. Like, whoa, what do you mean we die? So that was something, but we didn't go to church. And if we did, my dad would make a mockery of it. You know, he'd sit in the back, and everything the pastor would say, he'd whisper with no pants on. With no pants on. He'd make gestures. But so he was not comfortable in that environment. So yeah, we didn't, and my mom was also very, my mom went to church when I was a teenager.
Right.
She really liked this pastor down in Florida when we moved there. So she always, but my mom also had a situation growing up, because she married a Catholic man. And when her husband was killed in World War II, and she still had his child, I guess during the funeral at the Catholic Church, they didn't acknowledge my mother or their son because they were Protestant.
Oh.
And as the priest just glazed over and didn't acknowledge them, then my grandfather stood up and called everyone out in the church and said, "None of you are men of God. There's that man left a son, a wife. And if we're all under God, you've just shown that you're not." And, and I guess he made a big scene. And so that was kind of from my mother, that was very, that was a big turnoff for her for a very long time. But she still was drawn to go back eventually.
And when you say that man, you're referring to your father, this will happen to your father once he died?
No. This was my mom's first husband.
Oh, I see.
Back in the late 40s.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm the only son of my parents. So my father, World War II, came home, got married, three kids.
Okay.
Gets divorced. My mom, first husband, killed in World War II while she's pregnant with his son.
I got
you. So that was that funeral. Yeah.
Amazing. And so who is God to you? Who's God?
For me, it's my creator. It's our creator of existence. Meaning, it's my inner power, my inner thoughts, my inner drive, along with all other existence. You know, I didn't understand all of existence, unfortunately, there was two things that really were game changing for me. One was where I believed I saw the devil, and the other one was I felt the existence of everything. And what I mean by that was a dragonfly, the flowers, everything that existed around me, I can feel their consciousness, and that the consciousness that's created and the voice that talks to me when I speak to it and ask for answers, to me, that is God. That's a love energy. That's the best way I can describe it.
Amazing. And so you say you saw the devil? You believe you saw the devil? Oh, you saw evil?
Oh, I know I saw the devil.
What happened?
I know I saw the devil.
How do you know that? And what happened?
Well, I was tripping. I was
you were
tripping
high?
On mescaline. Oh. Oh, yeah, I was high.
That'll
was
do
high.
It.
Yeah. And I was not enjoying the evening. And my friend, I said, I got to go home. I got to go. I'm not enjoying this at all. So he dropped me off. And before he dropped me off, he looked at me and said, now, listen, you're going to be up for a couple hours. Don't make a lot of noise. Go in your room. If you turn on TV, don't look anything too emotionally attached. Like, watch something stupid. And he goes, and whatever you do, don't look in the mirror. Well, now naturally I can't help but keep staring at the mirror from my bed. And I remember getting up and I started staring at myself in the mirror, and my pupils were so big and dilated. And I felt at that time just darkness saying, Lily laughing, going, I got you, stupid. You're so stupid, I got you. And I remember backing off and yelling at myself, going, a man of God, and I will always be on the good side. And you have no, you are gone, and I don't even acknowledge you, and you will never have me. And again, I was stoned. I just remember the next day, a little freaked out when I woke up, because was I high? Yes. But I remember those emotions.
Yeah.
I remember the whole scene like it was yesterday.
Really? And so what were you high off? What had you taken?
Mescaline.
Oh, okay.
This is late 80s. Late 80s.
And so are you over
teenager?
That? Are you over that trauma now? When you remember it, does it bother you?
Oh, God, yeah. No. Long over that. Long over that.
And do you have perfect peace?
I don't know if there's such thing as perfect peace. I don't know if... I do have many experiences of what I feel is perfect peace, but it's also a little lonely sometimes. I mean, I feel like that's where I'm at in life, where you reach a point where you do have a very deep peace in you, but there's so many others that don't. And it's really hard to, it's very refreshing when I see other people at a peaceful state in their life. But I guess the true honest answer right there is going to be no. I don't have 100% peace.
And why not?
Because of just allowing other, I would say just where I'm at personally with certain things, certain people in my life that, you know.
And so, but you say you have somewhat of peace sometime, but yet you feel lonely.
Yeah.
And you feel lonely. What does that feel like when you do feel lonely? What is that feeling?
Extremely empty, extremely sad and empty. And I guess the best way to describe that is a emotionless state, which some might find exciting and amazing, but I don't enjoy that state.
Yeah. And do you have anger?
No. I definitely would carry some anger at times. I'm sure I get there. I can't say never, but compared to other times in the past, you know, I can't say 100% no, but you know, there's been a few times where I've caught myself and I go, whoa, what am I getting riled up about right now? This makes no sense to be this anger. It makes zero sense for me to be holding on to this. So I feel like I've got a really good grasp over the last few years over controlling any anger that comes my way. And I think the hardest place of anger is personal relationships.
And what do you mean by that?
Someone wanting to draw your emotions to a place you don't want them to go.
Yeah.
And they're very resilient at it. And they don't, you give them the signs and blah, blah, blah. Where in the past, many times I would eventually engage. And I realized that's completely unhealthy. And it's much better to just move along or just not engage in the emotional conflict or whoever's bringing that on to you.
Right. And so do you have anger?
Yeah. You know, right now I'm going to. Yeah, I have to. Yes. I don't. Like, if I had to think right now, what am I angry about? I don't know if I can really. I don't know if I honestly have that. There's nothing right now. I go, you know what really pisses me off? You know what really pisses me off, Jesse? Or you know what I'm really angry about right now? I don't really. I made a turn a long time ago where anything that frustrated me or made me angry, I then looked at the person and I saw it more as feeling bad for their state of mind or their situation. And once I started looking into not taking things personally, that really changed my life a lot. Where if you realize a lot of people's issues are not you, I'm reminding them of something that makes them angry, or they're not getting something that they feel I should be representing or giving to them, and that I can't engage in that. I can't. That's something they got to do. So once I was able to decipher through that, I lost a lot of getting angry about anything.
So why don't you drop? Let me ask first, do you believe it's possible to have perfect peace right here on Earth?
Oh, 100%.
And so why don't
you... Without a doubt. And like I said, I feel like I have... Yeah.
Why don't you drop your anger and never have to deal with anger again? Why don't you just drop it?
Well, I feel like I have. I feel like I have. There's not a lot of the peace part is there's a part of me that I struggle with where I want to just leave and just tap out for a month straight in a jungle in a foreign land, somewhere like that. I know I'd be able to pull it off. I really know I'd be able to pull it off. I just, it's, you know, there's a lot of people close to me, but that's, I've struggled with that a lot the last year or two, where it's something I really, really want to do. And I don't know if that's me searching for a deeper part, I don't know.
Drop the anger and be free of anger. Never, no matter what happens in life and what and whomever, whatever, why don't you drop the anger so you can be free completely and never have to deal with anger again, no matter what? Why not just drop it completely?
I honestly don't even know how to answer. I try to think about. I don't know if I honestly have anything that angers me. I feel like I have things that may hurt or be saddened by or frustrated by. But I don't feel, you know why I'd know it? Not that I know, but like years ago, I would listen to very aggressive music and that would help with the anger.
Yeah.
I can't even listen to it anymore. I can't even listen to it anymore. I listen to reggae and native flute music all the time. My friends, you know, my kids always crack up at me like, "Dad, you listen to the native flute music out on the patio?" Like, yeah. It's a beautiful, peaceful mind spirit thing. It's awesome.
But if you drop the anger completely where it's not in you at all, you can never be sad. You can never be frustrated. You can never be emotional. All emotion would disappear when the anger disappeared because all of those emotions that you get are children of anger.
Yeah.
It come from anger.
The hurt and that anger. Stuff. You're saying all that stuff comes from anger.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And so if you dropped it and it's not in you at all, those hurts, those sadness, those loneliness, everything would disappear and you will walk out of your prison and be free.
Hmm. Huh. I can relate to that. I guess the struggle with that would be personal relationships that are that's a tough one. That's a good one, but it's a tough one. That's interesting. I never really looked at some of those emotions coming from anger.
All emotions come from anger. The good one and the bad
one. It's funny you say that because... What's that?
The good ones and the bad ones. They all come from anger.
Wow. See... All right, well, that confuses me. If I see, like, for instance, I love seeing children. I love seeing a kid on a plane and we're making eye contact, baby looking at me, and I feel great. I always look at the parents and I go, oh, you're in such a good place right now. You don't even know it. You don't even know how beautiful life is right now. Are you saying like even those emotions, those emotions of it's such a good feeling. It's such a good feeling. Almost it's the purity. It's the innocence. Even that eventually is spawned out of anger.
Yeah, because all the way you get all Google eyes of children because something is missing in you, and that is missing is perfect peace, and so you get a false thrill.
All right.
You're going to fall through from the excitement of the children.
Yeah, because, I can see that.
Because as soon as your children are gone, you're back to your feeling lonely or feeling down or wishing you had and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Huh. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know of anyone in your life with that perfect peace, like absolutely zero anger?
Yes.
Who would that be?
Me.
When did you reach that state?
when I realized I had to drop my anger, because anger is evil, and anger separates you from the peace of life, which is God. It's impossible to have anger and be one with God. And anyone that has anger is judging. They're playing God. They think they know what they want. They think they know they can change themselves. They're always judging themselves and others. And as long as you play God, you will never know God.
Hmm. Hmm. Now, are you married?
No.
Okay.
And why do you ask that?
Were you?
Why did you ask me that?
Because I think having do you have a significant other?
Not now, but I've been engaged twice. I have a son, and I have a granddaughter and a grandson. I have 3 great-grandsons.
Okay.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And I like that word, too, amazing. I think a lot of times a relationship, male and female, husband, wife, whatever you want to. I think sometimes, you know, you go through periods of growing together, seeing things a certain way, and then you, I feel sometimes it's more difficult. Nothing's impossible. I feel like it's more of a struggle to find that incredible, as you would say, zero anger.
Right.
When
what? Go ahead. Yeah.
When you're balanced with people in your life.
When you drop that anger completely,
yeah,
the word, the idea, the feeling of struggle disappear. It exists no more. No matter whom you're dealing with, how close or how far they're away from you, they can never touch you at all. Whatever their situation may be, it will be their situation and not yours, and you cannot be touched. You're protected from the world.
I definitely have felt that, and I feel I have morphed in that. I guess other struggles begin, and those personal struggles would be where I'm trying to figure out, are they selfish needs? Are they like wants, desires, not sexual desires,
right,
but desire of, I enjoy the being that you are. Does that make sense?
It does. And when you drop the anger, there will be no more struggles, no more desires, no more wanting for anything.
Correct. I have hit that state.
Because of time, if you knew how to have it perfectly, would you take the advice and do it? If it makes sense.
Absolutely. No, this is very helpful, and it's very challenging for me. This is a very challenging conversation, which I love.
Absolutely.
It is. It's also hard to not get too personal and understand exactly what you say. I guess you don't need to get personal with what you're presenting.
That's right.
I'd have to do some deeper soul searching and dig deeper to find that peace.
It's right at hand. And if you want it, you got to forgive your mother for turning you away from your father and creating you in her image. Your anger, your imagination, your thoughts, it all come from being recreated in her image when you were a kid and you didn't realize what was happening. She did her best. She couldn't help it. And you got to forgive her. And when you forgive your father for not protecting you from her. He didn't know how to deal with her. He loved you. It's just that he didn't know how to deal with your mother because he married a woman he hated. He hated his mother. And you're attracted to what you hate.
Well, no, this is interesting. See, now, my dad never had a mother.
He had to have one some point.
He died. He was 3 when she died.
Okay.
And he came from a family of 10. And it was full-blown madness, chaos. When I sat and listened to them, I didn't believe half the things they said. Eating possum and turtles and...
Amazing.
Yeah, I was like, what? Yeah, like, what? My mom, it's interesting you say that. When she passed, there was a time where I actually forgave her because I also understood the incredible struggle she's had through her lifetime.
Yeah.
And still was able to pull off such great love for me. And the best she known for all my other siblings, my half-siblings. But it's interesting because I will tell people my biggest struggle would be a female berating a male.
Yeah.
And just berating him as a man. And no different from a female or a male berating, if anyone berating someone else or condescending them, I absolutely despise.
Yeah.
I lose all respect for the people involved in that situation. I can't stand. It's so disrespectful. It's so narcissistic. It's so and we definitely in the past, you know, in my own personal relationship with my wife, I'd have to bring to her attention, listen, when you speak this way, all I hear is my mother yelling.
Absolutely.
Unless you're married to your mother. Oh, definitely. I 100% saw that as time went on.
Yeah.
So trying to deprogram that has been quite exhausting for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because once I felt I discovered that, Jesse, it's eye awakening. It's a little alarming, but at the same time, you're like, well, I was able to conquer everything. I can conquer that. We'll figure this out. And as time goes on. So
I was going to ask.
Interesting.
But I want you to think about that. Make sure you forgive your mother. She couldn't help herself. She meant well. And forgive your father for not being able to protect you from her. I was going to ask, how do you deal with the hell in your wife when it comes out like that? How do you deal with that?
In the past, I just wanted peace and silence as soon as possible. and in the past, you know, I talk about this. This is a moment when she found Jesus, right?
Oh God.
yes. So we were having a struggle and I had it out with God. You know, I was on a side street and all the circumstances, and I said, God, you know, I'm not a drug addict. I don't cheat. I go on the road. I'm a dad. I'm a wife. I'm faithful. What if you don't step in right now? I'm losing all my five. I need you to step in right now. well, I think it was less than a week later, she's all disoriented. She wants to start going to church. Some woman prayed for her. She founds Jesus. The first it was, it's the vitamins I'm on. And I was like, I drink too much caffeine. You know, I don't exercise enough. That's why I yell, and that's why I scream, and that's why I always feel this way, and blah, blah, blah. And then Jesus came, and I give Jesus tons of credit, because she did, our dialogue opened up a lot more, and there was more conversation rather than yelling and, you're this and you're that and you don't do this and you never do that and you never do this and you never do that. And at that point, you know, I had two children. So I was, she comes back a couple weeks later and I'm sitting in the kitchen. She came up and boom, right back to 2 months ago. You're this and you're that and you never do this. And I'm sorry. I'm working on this. You're a great husband. You're a great father. Please be patient with me. I love you. I'm learning about the Lord. I'm going to fall sometimes. And I was waiting for the but. but there was no but. And she went back up. And that was... That worked very well. And then, certain things happen after that, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know why we went in that direction.
I asked you, how do you have the hell in her? And you were telling me that she became a Christian.
Yes. So, and even after that, there'd be a lot of engagement where, then she'd be like, I can't believe you said this and that and that. And I'd go, what was your... It's because I told you, please stop. And then you brought me there. And then I go in the red zone. And now, of more recent, Jesse, the way I deal with it is I cut all the emotions out. And I don't let anything that is thrown my way affect me emotionally whatsoever. It definitely upsets her, yeah. But I can't engage in that. I can't engage in that anymore. I just can't.
And that's why she's upset, because she can't control you if she can't get a reaction from you. She either has to make you feel good or make you angry. Either way, she has control, and if you don't have any anger, that emotions are not, those emotions are not there, and they go crazy because they can't control you anymore.
That's interesting you say that, because I've come to that conclusion, but it's also like, I know you say it comes from anger.
She's going to say, you don't love me. You don't feel my pain. You don't care what I feel. But what she's really saying, you don't let me control you the way I used to. You're not overreacting anymore. I can't control you. That's what she's really saying. But she said, you don't love me. And that's not what it is.
No, I know that. As a matter of fact, there was a moment that was very startling for me. We were in a car, and it was a situation that was going on. She wanted me to engage. I did not. I had no plans on engaging. She brought in recruits.
Yep.
The recruits were then hooting and hollering. And I remember literally going, I'm about to lose my mind right now. And her reaction was, finally, you're about to. And that was, But what's that emotion? I was hurt by that. I was hurt that she was excited of watching me lose, the potential of lose my emotions. That was extremely painful.
And that's evil?
And even though
she got a thrill from that.
Yeah, that messed me up. I ain't gonna lie to you. It messed me up. It messed me up.
Well, she got to do what I suggest for you. She got to forgive her mother because she hates her mother, too. And she's become just her mother. And she's yearning for her father.
Wow. That I know. That I know. Because that's all I hear is that was not the man when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Or that was not the man that I grew up with. Or he's very angry now. Or he's very this right now. And, you know, it's easy for me to go, well, I literally take him out all the time and I try to give him as much what we'll call freedom without someone telling him what to do. And he's the happiest human being in the world.
Absolutely. But I got to ask, who are you?
If I were to describe myself, that's a great question. Who am I? Someone who is, I love everything about life. I love watching people. I do my best to make other people's lives better. Including my mind, including myself. But I feel like in my lifetime, I am one that's just here to help others figure out how to live spiritually and consciously better for themselves. I know that sounds a little vague, but I love that. I love problem solving with people. I love making people laugh that are struggling, or give them a point of view that they might not have understood that can help them in the situation they're in. Always looking at the light. I'm a half cup. I'm always the cup is full, no matter what. No matter what, the cup is full. I don't know. I guess that's the best way I guess I can describe myself.
And so you told me what you love doing, and you love helping. You love doing this, and how you like helping others, but you didn't tell me who you are. I ask, who are you?
Who am I? I'm just a being experiencing this lifetime the best way I can. Is that an answer?
That's an answer, but it doesn't tell me who you are.
I'm not sure I know how to answer that then. Who am I? You know,
you told me you're doing. You told me how you like helping you. How much you love this. You love, and your cup is full. Still didn't tell
me
who
you
are.
I'm the son of James Brewer and Doris Ann Lestrange.
So you told me who you belong to, but who are you?
Don't know. It's a great question. Sometimes I feel like I'm one of God's messengers. I don't know. That's the best. I don't know. Who are you? Maybe that'll help me focus in better on a true answer.
And I want you to discover the answer, and you can, but I don't want to give you any hints. I want you to discover it for yourself. Then once you see it for yourself, you will know without a doubt. But I want to ask, do you create your own thoughts?
Some of them, a lot of them are influenced without it. I'd be a fool not to say that. But yeah. Oh, I don't know. Like my thoughts will come from obviously certain influences, whether it be a what's in my face, visually or people. And then the other thoughts are when I'm by myself and I'm still and silent. Well, I talk to God and I say, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to feel? What do you want me to put out there? And then thoughts often come from that. But I don't think they're my thoughts. I think they're God's thoughts, and it's up to me whether to accept them or not. That's how I feel sometimes. That's how I feel a lot.
And so do you create your own thoughts?
I'm going to say yes, I create my own thoughts.
And how do you do that? How do you create thoughts? How do you, Jim, create thoughts? What are the steps?
Like, for instance, I don't know. There's a lot of for instances there. Coming on the show. Invitation. I went in with zero thought process. Whatever comes up, comes up. And then as we talk through experiences, I will elaborate on experience or those thoughts. If I want to come up with something funny, I'll sit and observe, and in my head I'll get visuals that I'm creating in my head, and I'll try to reenact them or bring them to the surface. So I guess those are my thoughts.
But you're not telling me how you create them.
But
since you believe that you do create them, how do you create them? What are the steps to creating your own thoughts?
Most of the time, it's being still. When I'm still, or when I'm completely free of mind, what will happen is thoughts will start going through my head, whatever those thoughts will be. And then I will grab onto one particular one and perhaps elaborate on it.
And so are you creating those thoughts that are going through your head when you're still?
I have no clue, to be honest with you, anymore. I do think, honestly, a lot of that is God or the internal being. I don't know if it's Jim Brewer actually creating it. Sometimes I feel it is, but I'm open and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to learn otherwise.
And so you sometimes have good thoughts and you sometimes have bad thoughts. If you were the creator of your thoughts, would you ever create a bad thought for yourself?
Oh, without a doubt. Now, when you say without for a myself, doubt what? Without a doubt, create bad thoughts.
You will create thoughts that will make you feel afraid or sad or bad?
Yeah, like I will definitely go into, there's been times in life where I would go into and I think I will scare myself in a thought, or I will bring myself to a scenario that I hope I'm never part of, if that makes sense. I don't know if that's like that's clearly either past trauma or whatever, where like, oh my God, I hope I'm never in this situation. But those are not good thoughts. They're almost anxiety, where you create in your head. But in my head, I feel like I'm prepping in case that happens.
And so, who will you be?
Yeah, you laugh.
Who will you be if you had no thoughts?
Say it again.
Who will you be? Who would you be? Who will you be if you had no thoughts?
I feel like I wouldn't be any different than a plant. Or a flower, or it's just nothingness, really. I don't know. With no thoughts, you're just a being.
So you're saying that you would be like a plant, or you'd be like a being if you had no thoughts?
A being.
And what is a being?
A consciousness. A consciousness, just a simple creature of consciousness.
And how do you know that, since you have never given up thoughts?
I don't know that.
And so why are you making it up now? Where are you getting that idea from?
I'm sure I've gone there certain times, and I don't know if that's like me, where I've thought about death, what happens after death, what happens, like what are we before we show up here? What are we? We just energy, consciousness. What are we before we even show up? So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I go that far out, or I don't know if I go that far deep to understand that answer.
And do you believe,
or maybe it spooks me?
Do you believe death exists?
I believe that energy goes on to something else. I'd like to believe that there is some type of energy or consciousness that continues, or a spirit, whatever that may be.
Well, there's only one death, and that death is from your false self. You got to die from all the ideas and thoughts and imagination that you have about yourself. They're all ego. They have nothing to do with you. And if you want to live, you got to let all images go, all thoughts. The so-called good ones and the bad ones, you got to let them go, stop identifying with them so they can die, be taken away from you, and you can be free. You have never created a thought. You have never created. It's impossible for you to do that. Even if you tried, you could not create a good one or a bad one. And none of your thoughts are from God. They're all lies. All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything.
That is fascinating, and me on quite a bicycle ride when we're done with this. So is that also tap into emotions, where everything then becomes emotionless?
I promise you, when all thoughts are gone, all emotion will disappear. You cannot be emotional unless you had the thought first. The so-called good ones and the bad ones, they all come from thought. You think, and because you don't catch those thoughts, you call them you. You react. You feel good or you feel bad. Oh, she loved me. She hate me. She this and that. You cannot have the emotion without you having a thought. And just as you are not your thoughts, you also are not your emotions. They're in your body when they come from thought, but they're not. You are not your body. They're not you.
Hmm. So now, where? Just a question.
Yes.
When did you come into knowing that? And what age would you say when you really learned to harness what you just said?
At age 38, when I was sick,
wow.
When I was sick and tired of being what I was, angry, had fear, judgment, emotional, up and down, looking for love. When I was sick and tired of living in hell, that's when I began to find heaven. And I had to go through hell, which is dying from those thoughts and emotions. You have to go through hell in order to find heaven. And you're never going to find heaven until you die from hell. Anyone that has emotions, thoughts and emotions, are living in hell. Worry is hell. Anxiety is hell. Depression is hell. Suicidal thought is hell. Looking for love is hell. Being unable to live alone is hell. Have to be a part of a crowd. Identifying with someone else is hell. It's all hell. You got to die from that in order to live in heaven right here on earth. It's all false. It's not real.
Mm. So what controls us all?
Right now,
is it all dark thoughts?
Yes. Right now, you're being controlled by evil of your imagination. All thoughts are all lies all the time. And when you die from the thoughts, and you will if you work on yourself, then you will be controlled by God, by the truth, by love. You will be controlled by God, and there will be no more hell. You will be free.
Hmm.
But you got to doubt every thought.
With that, do you no longer? Wow, that is fascinating. I would imagine then in that world, then you don't feel the need like I need someone to, you know, be more loving towards me or be more whatever towards you, because you don't need that existence. And yet you could still live amongst everyone else that is not there.
Absolutely. You will overcome the world, and the world you will overcome is the false world inside of you first. All of your hell is inside of you. I know your wife gave you hell, but if it wasn't in you, she couldn't bring out what was in there. All your problems are inside of you. Once you overcome that, nobody or nothing in the world can touch you. It would be impossible. Without you even trying, you'll be in the world but not of it, without your effort at all.
Yeah. It's funny, Jesse. I feel like I'm so close. I feel like I'm so close, but yet this was, and I'm looking for this. I'm looking for everything you brought today. And this has been very helpful. And I know it's helpful.
Yes.
So I can't say, like, you have no clue how helpful. Yeah, you already know. Wow. Yeah, and I love this. I freaking love this. I love nonstop learning and exploring. This is super exciting.
When I watched a little clip from your video the other day, I knew you would love it. I could see that you would love it, and I had no doubt that this conversation would go well. I just knew it.
I knew it was going to go well too. I've seen you in the past. I've seen you with certain people, and like I said, I feel like I'm got a grasp on a lot of things, but I know I don't in the end. I always know I need someone with much better experience and control to be able to teach me more. And this was an incredible, exceptional lesson. Especially at this moment in my lifetime.
Right on. Well, if you ever need to talk in private or you're ever in LA, come on by. And
I'm gonna. I'd love to reach out if that's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So because what the so because of time, I gotta ask this. You did Half Baked, and it's about pot, high, which was really, really funny, by the way. It was amazing. Were you high or you were acting, or were you high at all?
There was only two scenes that I got stoned. I was petrified to get stoned. Petrified. I can only speak for me. But during that, I was, when we weren't taping, yes, I would get high.
Right.
During the taping, I was freaked out. I never did a movie before. I wasn't allowed to go off on my lines. I had to nail the lines each day. I wasn't really the star. So it was like, so I was definitely freaked out. The only two times, there was one time when I was actually stoned, but I was cut for the day. And I went to my trailer, got stoned. I was going home for a couple days, and they came back. And I remember this like yesterday. She banging on the trailer door, and I opened up, and she said, "We need you back on set. The producer is calling. One of the other actors was having a hissy fit, and he was quitting. And he just had enough." And so she's like, "I need you to go back." I said, "Do I have lines?" She said, "You have one line." I said, "Okay." Okay. And I was convinced I was going to get fired. I went to the set and the guy was yelling and screaming, and it was a mess. But that was only, and all I had to say was, "Sucks to be you." All I had to say. And it was the most stressful one line I ever had in my life. But yeah. That was the only scene.
Amazing. So I got to ask, and then I got to put you on the hot seat. How do you feel?
Okay.
How do you feel knowing that white people, number one, are becoming a minority in America, and the attack that is being put up on white people, especially white men? How do you feel about that? What do you think about all that?
I don't get caught up in that. I've traveled the world. I do my best not to watch news or get caught up in politics.
Nice.
The world is, in my opinion, it's controlled. Who controls it is another discussion.
Yeah.
But everything that I see, whether it's race, whether it's countries or religion, in my opinion, it's all very well produced and very well thought out. and then very well put out there for specific reasons, just for chaos and hate.
Absolutely, man.
Very rarely do you see such energy put together to spread love and togetherness. And that's when you know it comes from pure evil.
Absolutely.
It's always pure evil.
Amazing.
So I don't get caught up in that. If I was only the white guy in the world, I don't care. You know, I learned a lot a long time ago with all that.
Right on, man. So I got to put you on the hot seat. I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Go ahead.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
A what?
A man. What is a man?
A man?
Yes.
A being with reproductive, a penis, who grows hair under his arms. Actually, we all grow hair under our arms, but no, I have a penis, and I'm here to look after the women, and I'm here to create children.
True or false, real men mate boys first.
Real
men mate boys first. True or false?
I have no clue. I'll go with true, but I really don't know if I'm 100% that answer.
Should dual citizenship be made illegal? Should dual 100%. Citizenship be made illegal?
Only if you're part of government. You're part of Congress or any part of government, you should never have dual citizenship. Ever, ever, ever.
Is the earth flat or round?
I have no clue. I don't buy any narrative, so I'm open to all answers.
Can you do an impression of me?
I think so. I might need a little bit more time, but with you, it would immediately go into the voice. We got a little bit of nasally. I'll be doing you good when this is over. do you know who you really are? That's all I got. It's all in the nasal voice.
Should we give reparations to the blacks?
I don't think anyone gets I'll say no, because everyone should get reparations then. We should be putting reparations for the entire universe.
Are UFOs real?
Unidentified flying objects are real. Well, you don't know what they are. Do they come from guys that look like reptiles and with big eyes? I don't know about that.
True or false, sending your child to a public school today is child abuse.
I'm going to say true. Any school is abusive. All schools, including privates.
Is it ever okay to tell a woman she's fat?
Ooh, that's a good one. Only if she says, be brutally honest. If she says be brutally honest, then maybe that opens the door to saying, yeah, a little fat.
If a woman hit a man, should he be allowed to hit her back?
Oh, wow. It wouldn't be my first. I don't know, man. You can, as long as you can get away from the situation, if you're hit and you can stop the next hit, and leave that situation? No, you don't hit the woman. If she's like 6'3" and you're 3'2", then yeah, he's got to do it. He's got to bite her inner thigh. He's got to do cornered and you're getting beat. Doesn't matter if you're man or woman. You should be able to defend yourself.
Amazing. Did you have fun?
Oh, my God. I had fun. I had great therapy. I learned about myself. And I learned I got to do a lot more work to get to that super inner peace.
Right on. Well, thank you for taking on the hot seat. It was amazing having you on. Tell the folks how to get to your podcast, your books, or whatever you want to promote there.
Sure. The Bruniverse. Just go to jimbrewer.com and it'll lead you there. Jesse, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really mean that.
It was a pleasure having you on. I totally enjoyed it. Thank you again.
Yeah, me too. All right. Thank you, brother. Be safe.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to support the Fall Estate by going to thefallestate.tv or locals.com. Check out the Punchy Coffee on jesseleepeterson.com/shop. And also, you can become a member now there on the Fall Estate. So become members. Check out the merch, the like, follow, ring the bell. Y'all know what to do. I appreciate it. Take care. Thank you, Jim.
Have a good one, Jeff. Take care.
All right, buddy. Amazing.